WIAM 101.1 FM, The Way.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes. Read between the lines of what you see. Look into the soul of reality. Open your eyes. Look at the sign. Never look back at yesterday. Keep your gaze steady on the narrow way.
If you said you'll keep waiting till the cows come home, you don't need to wait any longer. If you've said, I just wish we'd build up our military presence again in the Middle East, well, you've got your wish. And if you've wished to speak with famous people from the Bible, then let's start talking. That's just some of what we'll chat about as we explore the signs of the times, our weekly look at Bible prophecies we find in the world's news for Friday, July 21st, 2023. And if you've wished someone could help you find the right insurance for your life, then let me introduce you to our sponsor, Bob Johnson Insurance, a full-service independent agency featuring Erie Insurance products. They can help you find the right coverage for your needs. And it all starts when you contact them by phone at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com. Now, you can listen to this or previous episode, share them with your friends who are still waiting for those cows to come home, or ask Pastor Mark that prophecy question you can't stop thinking about by hitting us up at thewaymedia.net, then click Signs of the Times, or you can do the same on the Way Media app. And now, here to ask if part-time band leaders are called semiconductors is Pastor Mark, who, on a recent trip to France, discovered why the French eat snails, because they don't like fast food.
Oh, no, that's, no, that's, yeah, it took a minute.
Testing.
The after joke got more laughter, but no, I keep thinking of that guy that does the Mario Brother things in France, and he had that big snail in the middle of the road blocking traffic. I don't know if you saw that video or not, so that's what popped up in my mind, which is kind of funny, but yeah, that's... You know, get out of the way. Come on. Let the S car go and every other car.
Oh, my word. Oh, that is fantastic.
The crickets are still going. Come on. We had a fun moment.
Yes, we did.
So that was good.
That was our allotted fun moment.
At least you and I did.
That was our allotted.
Two
yes.
out of all the listeners.
How many people did we just lose as they tuned
turn
out?
Turn the dial.
Is it really? There's not even dials anymore, Pastor.
You can't.
They pushed a button.
No, you can turn dials now. My car is so old, I can turn. It's a 2012. I can turn dials.
Oh, you can still turn dials.
I can still turn the dial and go. Yep,
oh,
I sure can.
Okay.
So, but then again, it's a 2012. Okay. It's 11 years old.
If you slam your phone nowadays, you'll break it.
Yeah, that's right. That's
so you can't, you know, like slam the receiver.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, we're getting into MeTV area of discussion. So let's get into our into our articles.
Let's do this, as my granddaughter says.
Yes.
Let's do this.
All right. This is from Israel 365 News. The biblical red heifer could bring millions of visitors to Samaria.
Yeah, this is exciting. Again, I think most of our listeners probably know about the red heifer. The Bible says in Numbers 19, you have to have a red heifer that hasn't had a yoke upon it and that is sacrificed and burned. The ashes are used in the water to purify the priests.
And didn't they find one here in Tennessee to ship over
they
there?
They brought four over from,
they brought
from,
four.
From America. I don't remember. Hold on. They had some from Tennessee. I can't remember if these are the ones from Tennessee or these are from Texas or somewhere else. Because what happened is they've been looking, Greg, for these red heifers. It has to be a specifically spotless red heifer, okay? And it has to reach a certain age to prove it's spotless because it can look red all over and then later on develop a genetic, you know, white spot or whatever. So several were taken over or were kept here maybe even whatever. And then they ended up not being spotless. So I don't know if that was the group from Tennessee or not. Then they found these four. And whether these four are the Tennessee ones or the Texas ones, I don't remember right now off the top of my head, but they found four of them. They took them to Israel, and there's more than one they're watching, but they're moving the first one. Let me just read the article. It's exciting, but that's what the red heifer is. It is needed for the third temple, for the ashes, the purifying of the priests, and so it is a hard thing to find. They've been looking for, well, pretty much since they got back in the land. Now they think they've got one. Hundreds of visitors flocked to Shiloh, which is, by the way, where the tabernacle was for the first 300 and so years there in Israel when they first came in the land, in Samaria's Benjamin region on Thursday to welcome a biblically pure red heifer. The 22-month-old cow, which was brought to Israel from the United States, found a new home at the ancient Shiloh Heritage Site. I've been there. It's beautiful. Where the biblical tabernacle once stood. You can still see the outline of where the tabernacle was. Very exciting. In the coming month, two more heifers will be transported to the town. Those are out of the four. I think one of them has already been disqualified. So they're down to three, but two more will be transported to the town, and a center will open there dedicated to researching the phenomenon. The heifers will be kept in a fenced-off area, and visitors will not be able to touch the animals. The mysterious red heifer, or the Para Aduma, is first mentioned in the book of Numbers when God instructs Moses and Aaron to take, and I quote, a perfectly red, unblemished cow upon which no yoke was laid. The animal is subsequently slaughtered, and its ashes are used in a purification ritual. Benjamin Regional Council Head Israel Gans called the cow's arrival a historic moment. It really is, on so many levels. First of all, the fact that they're looking for one, that means they're trying to reinstate the sacrifices. The fact that they found one, they're not easy to find. That also is
a red heifer, period.
Well, you can find red heifers. Okay. We have them all over the fields of America, but a perfect
one.
I'm talking no other blemish, nothing. It's all red. That's not easy to find. These four, it was amazing. They found four and brought them over. One was already disqualified. Three others are now being watched, and the first one has been delivered there. So, again, it's exciting because what they want to do is it shows they're ready to rebuild the temple. They want to go in and reinstitute the sacrifices. So this is all very, not only historic, very biblical. Very biblical.
But this is just the ashes of the red heifer, right?
Yeah, that's all they need. They'll burn the animal,
take
the ashes.
So it's not like they need red heifer after red heifer after red heifer.
Exactly. That's a great thing to point out because I was going to make another point about that. One is that if you get a container of ashes from a heifer, it lasts a long, long time. As a matter of fact, one of our tour guides, when we were there years back, I believe it might have been Ronnie Simon. I think it was Ronnie, a friend and a sweet friend there in Israel. He said that when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, one of the things they found in those caves that they didn't announce, but Israel knows it and the people there know it that are in the know. He happens to know about it. He said they found another jar that just had ashes in it. And he said it was with all the other jars of scripture. It was a Jewish jar, et cetera. He said there is no reason for anyone, be it the any of the religious groups or sects that are there or whatever. He said none of those would have any purpose for keeping ashes at all. There's no reason whatsoever. There's only one reason among the Jewish people and all their different groups that you would ever keep ashes, and that is the ashes of the red heifer. And his theory is, and others that are in Israel, although it's still been quiet, this hasn't been spoken of and may not be spoken of until the third temple process is approved and they begin to rebuild, which will happen in the last days. And they may not need those ashes now. They may get these, but I think the first ashes he's talking about here would be much more valuable to the Jewish people symbolically. He believes that when they fled from in 70 AD, remember, there was a group of Jews that fled down to Masada, and they held up in Masada for 2 years. He believes that as they fled from Masada, some of those, they actually, in one of those caves, they deposited the ashes of the red heifer from the days of Christ. So 2,000 years ago, right before Rome destroyed it. Now, if that's the case, he said this, we don't need any more ashes. He said, we have all the ashes. They last for hundreds of years. He said, they just drop a tiny amount in the water, every day to purify in each batch of water. He said, we have enough ashes right now. And they could, not only could they reinstitute, Greg, the sacrifices there on the Temple Mount, but they could use the actual ashes of the red heifer from the days, well, we would be excited to say from the days of Christ. They wouldn't mention that. They would just say from the days the second temple was destroyed, right? That's pretty exciting, although it means nothing to us other than biblical prophecy being fulfilled. So to get to your point, yes, the ashes would last a long time, even if they weren't stored. Even if they're used, they last a long time because you don't need that much. You put it in the water. It's a symbolic ritual of something sacrificed to purify the water. So they may have both. They may have a new heifer that they sacrifice, And they may have those. And I would say if they bring those out, my guess would be they would use those from the Second Temple rather than even the new one. So either way, I think it may be covered.
So my question would be, if they've already had these ashes, and these are indeed the ashes of the red heifer, and right. I don't know if you can DNA test ashes. I really don't.
I'm sure they can. I'm sure by now they know.
I don't know.
By now they know.
So then that would mean that maybe they aren't, which is why they're in pursuit of this current red heifer? Or do you think they just want to go through all of the steps just so they can say, we know for certain we have everything?
Yeah, no, Ronnie said they wouldn't say a word until the approval came to rebuild the third temple and it was legal.
Oh, okay.
He said otherwise there would be multiple riot upon riot upon riot. That would, he said, just be battles that never stopped. I mean, war could break out.
Right.
Because what you're saying is, if you let the people know, if you let the Jewish people know, we found the ashes of the red heifer. Now, some of them go, wow, that's cool. But there'll be another big group of them that's going to go, wow, that's fulfilled prophecy.
So what are we waiting for?
That's fulfilled prophecy in the last days. We need to rebuild the temple because they believe in the last days they'll rebuild the temple for the Messiah to come
right.
to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would cause a religious fervor on both sides that Ronnie says the government, he didn't say I know for sure. He's just saying, my guess is it got quiet when they found those ashes. He said, my guess is, if the government has verified, and again, it could be they verified they weren't, so it's kind of faded, but if they verified they were, the government is stopping riots and uprisings and battles until the time is right. Because once it's approved, nobody will care. Look, it's been approved. The battle's been won. Now bring out the ashes, and there's a greater celebration about what's going on. But if not, trouble, trouble, trouble.
Trouble.
Yes. So anyway,
wearing sackcloth and sitting in
that's
ashes.
Right. That's right. It's exciting. Again, for us as believers, yeah. all it means is that we're closer to the third temple and the Lord's return, and let's do this thing,
yes.
Lord. You know, let's do this.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. All right, let's look at some Ezekiel 38 and 39 news. Don't know exactly how this is Ezekiel related, but Pastor Mark will be sure to tell us.
Yeah.
As this is from the Jerusalem Post. United States F-35s and F-16s and more naval ships. The U.S. keeps bolstering the Middle East military.
Yeah, let me read the article. It'll explain your question.
Oh, says, yoke.
There's no shortage of U.S. Air Force assets and other weapons within CENTCOM area. However, the decision to keep releasing details on purpose of these deployments is clear messaging to Iran and Russia. Those are our two
yes.
buddies right there in the last day's battle. Days after U.S. officials said that the U.S. would send F-16s to the region and the guided missile destroyer USS Thomas Hudner, more reports emerged on Tuesday of the U.S. sending warplanes to the region. This appears to be an increasing crescendo of messaging designed to deter Iran and Russia. Russia has been harassing U.S. forces in Syria. Now, their motive is, hey, they're harassing us. We're going to make a bigger statement, stop harassing us. But, Greg, this plays right into, look, there's a problem with Russia and Iran right here, and we need to kind of deal with it.
So Iran has been harassing
Russia.
Russia has been harassing U.S. forces.
In Syria.
In Syria.
Yes.
It's just amazing to me that Syria is housing so many type A countries.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, because of what the Bible says.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me the political military quagmire that exists over there. And somehow you got Israel involved. You got the U.S. involved. You got Iran involved. You've got Russia involved. You've got whatever's left of the Syrian government sitting there.
Yeah.
And then all the proxy going back and forth, you know, that Iran's involved with when it comes to Lebanon, which is just the neighbor to the west.
Right.
I don't know. It's amazing to me how all of that just comes together and exists. It just blows my mind.
You know, Greg, the cool thing to me that hit me when you were saying that is that they have all these private meetings with the top military brass and the president and all these, and nobody knows what's going on in those meetings about military events around the world and the Middle East and all that. And a baby Christian who gets their first lesson in prophecy knows exactly. They can walk in that room and say, look, I don't know any of the big strategy sequence. I hadn't seen the satellite pictures.
Yes.
I don't know all the info you're getting from all over the world and the spies you planted, but here's what you're going to watch for. You're going to see a gathering of Iran and Russia. and other nations. These are the nations. They're on the border of Israel. There's going to be a greater and greater problem. They're going to work together more and more. You're going to see a greater and greater divide from Israel. Eventually, they're going to attack. And you can tell them everything they're figuring out with their jaws hanging open. If they just believe the Bible, they, you know, they wouldn't need half of the intelligence services that they have. And it's just amazing to me that God shows us, you know, just these little kids in his family. He says, now the world's trying to figure it out and they think they've got it under control. I'm running the show and come here. Here's what's going to happen. And he tells us, we're going, wow, wow, wow. You know, I was just thinking, if anybody heard some of this stuff, you know, years ago, I'm surprised that, you know, that they can't recognize. We've been saying this and the church has been saying it, but that shows they don't pay any attention to what the Bible says. And now some of them in there recognize and they see what's going on. But I think until it happens, they're not going to believe it. And it's just amazing to me what God shows us. We are in such a privileged position as the children of God. We know so much of what's going to happen, and we can give details of the outcome. They're trying to figure out, is there going to be, what's going to be the trouble? Well, we can tell them Iran and Russia are going to link together, and Libya and Ethiopia, and probably really Sudan instead of Ethiopia, that, you know, that region, if you will, and Turkey, and they're going to attack Israel. And as soon as they do, they're all going to be destroyed in some miraculous way. We're not sure how yet. And when that happens, again, the whole world is going to freak out, and you're going to see this world leader come on the scene, that whatever. If you told them that, they say, yeah, you're some crazy, whatever, you know, this kind of thing. But we know exactly what they're going to slowly figure out. We already know what's going to happen. He's told us. And for everyone that simply believes him, I just think this is so cool. Yeah. And just a child can tell these military guys with all this hidden technology what's going on, and they don't even know what's happening. We do. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
You know, it's amazing for all the ebb and the flow that's been over there over the years.
You
especially
know ebb and flow?
Ebb and flow?
They went with us on the last tour.
Oh, now was that one?
Ebb's a great guy.
Was Rant and Rave part of that group?
They were, but yep, Ebb and Flow, Rant, they all went with us on that trip. But again, they're the sweetest couple. But go ahead, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's Uncle Ebb, right?
Yes.
And Auntie Flow?
Yes, there you go.
Okay. Right.
Well, you had a point. I stole it.
Yes, you did.
The ebb and flow of what's going on over there in the Middle East.
Yeah.
With the ebb and flow of, okay,
Okay,
let's move on. It'll come back to you.
Yeah, it'll
come on,
back
live radio.
To me.
We can't
live
just keep
radio.
Hanging.
We can't keep
no,
people
keep hanging.
Hanging.
Dark noise. They're gonna hit the dial.
It'll
the
it'll
dial
come
they don't
to me
have,
later,
they're gonna hit.
Right after this story.
That's right.
That's what I meant to say. It's like all those countries coming together.
Let the musicians
in Syria,
speak for you, Greg. Let's just soak it in.
They're all they're the world.
Oh, there you go.
We are the children.
It's a choice we're making.
Yes, it's a choice we're making.
We're
destroying
our own lives.
We're destroying our own lives. No, they should say, we're destroying our own lives.
We're playing that on the radio show.
When we come against Israel, we're destroying our own lives. Thus saith the Lord in Ezekiel. But anyway, we've moved on to Ezekiel and gone to the one world religion.
Story about Al, I think.
Yes, it's a story about Al, my pal Al. Didn't Paul Simon do a thing?
He did. Yeah,
okay, I can't remember. All right. Israel 365 News, new AI. That's a capital I, not an L.
Oh, that's not Al.
That's not
I'm
new
sorry,
Al.
That's my fault.
That's not a new Al Bible.
All right, that's okay.
It's a new AI Bible app. Allows users to chat with biblical characters.
Wow.
Okay. This is what I'm doing.
This is real.
This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. I'm just like, what? No. I've got it right here. Here we go. Adam, what were you thinking? Adam, why didn't you just speak up?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell Eve? Don't do that.
That's right.
Why? That's who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
I'm going right to the beginning.
Yeah.
Forget about the rest of the stuff.
Get to the source.
Let's get to the source.
What does Al know?
Let's go. What does Al know?
He doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything. And clearly Adam didn't know anything, because if he did, he wouldn't have remained silent.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in today.
Well, there's so many things about this that are wrong. Listen to what it says. A new artificial intelligence app claims to allow the user to chat with biblical and not so biblical characters. A trial run leaves the user hoping that the real biblical characters are more inspiring than their computer-generated counterparts.
Okay.
The problem is they need counterparts just to work.
Right.
A biblical PixChat claims to allow users to seek guidance and enter the gateway to biblical wisdom by chatting with biblical characters. With AI chat programs, they're now are common. They can be tailored to suit the individual preferences. For example, with ChatGPT, if asked if God exists, it gives a long preamble followed by ambiguous and unsatisfying conclusion. Listen to what it says. Ultimately, whether or not God exists is a deeply personal and subjective question. It depends on individuals' beliefs, experiences, and worldview. Different people may have different perspectives on this matter, and it's important to approach discussions about the existence of God with respect to open-mindedness. When the Bible picks versions of Moses, it asks us the same question. He responds emphatically in the affirmative, describing him as the creator of all things, visible and invisible. Though his presence may not be visible in our earthly eyes, his fingerprints can be seen in the beauty of creation, it says, in the intricate design of the universe and the depths of soul. Now, I want to read some of that just to give you an idea. Look, you can program a computer to say what you want it to say and to pick out certain words. You can see they've already made it politically correct by the AI's not thinking, really. It just wrote down what they knew would be acceptable, like whether you believe in God or not, blah, blah, blah. And then if you're a Christian, okay, Moses said this. And you brought up a great point before the show, Greg, you know, that no matter what they do to AI, it will never have a soul. It can never really think. They're talking about computers thinking. Okay, it thinks in the sense of its programming and what it can analyze from that programming, but it's not independent thinking like a human that God gives. There's no soul to drive it. It's soulless.
Yeah, you still have to give it input in order for it to decipher and discern.
Right.
But its discernment is not spiritual. Its
right.
discernment is calculable.
Right. And here's my concern with this, and that is this. There are people out there that really start giving personification to these things and believe it. You remember when these stories came out when they first started having either, was it the phones or the cars or the GPSs where they have some female voice. You could actually talk to them. And then they turned this thing into an app where they would talk to them. And actually some guy fell in love, I think, with one of these, he wanted to marry or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad. And there's a derangement there. But Greg, my point is to make the point of this.
Yes.
There are some younger people, maybe even older, that will actually go to this and think that maybe I'm really talking to, you know, these characters. Maybe they can really tell me something about God. No, they can't. They're simply a program running words and numbers, and they're doing the best they can to put together this stuff. It's not a real being you're talking to. So this is very dangerous. What happens if they tweak it to say what they want you to hear as they say, oh, and guess what? Jesus wasn't really the only way to heaven. I know that Bible said that, but you're talking now to blah, 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 and I'm giving the real truth.
Right.
There'll be people that would believe that stuff.
You know, let's pull back for a minute and let's take a look at a larger picture that's evolved over time. When the advent of radio came into being and came into American households, that was probably the first widespread, mass-applied technology that most people, regardless of socioeconomic status, could enjoy.
Right.
And then came the TV. And of course, the TV was a luxury in the beginning and then became commonplace. And then you've gone from TV to computers.
Yep.
And at that time, computers were stationary. And then computers became mobile in terms of laptops. And then the cell phone was introduced. And now the cell phone became even a smaller version of a portable computer that can also make a phone call.
Right.
And then iPads and tablets and smartwatches and the list goes on. And what's happened through every generation that's gone through that technology has been introduced to them at a younger and younger age.
Right.
And so there becomes from a neuroplasticity standpoint in terms of how your brain gets mapped and wired. And we would liken it and call it maybe muscle memory. But there is a relationship that gets developed and a dependency that gets developed in a relationship, not necessarily in a human-to-human relationship, but a relationship in terms of on dependence.
Right.
And so that's evolved over time. And now you think of the generation whose parents gave their children iPads in their laps, and this was their babysitter, this was their occupier while mommy or daddy were busy doing whatever and interacting back and forth, and the things talking to you in the games or whatever, or people on TV, whatever the case may be, it has an impression on people. And I think what we're seeing now is because the technology is getting better, and when you think about like Alexa or Siri, or devices that you can talk to and they can do commands and things like that. Again, it's just ratcheting that relationship to another level.
Right.
And so now you enter AI and all of this, and then you enter what's happened through COVID, which was the mass isolation of so many people.
Right.
It furthered the dependence of the technology on people, which we know is by design,
right?
Because we know at the end of the day, the Antichrist is going to use all of that to be the Holy Spirit or the unholy spirit
absolutely.
To connect himself to the people.
Yeah, absolutely. Even so to the image. I mean, everything, yeah.
Exactly. So that's where all of this
is
going.
It is going. You're exactly right. That's where it's going. And you know, we know it's going to continue to go that way. But you're going to see more and more of an interaction of people treating this stuff like it's real people. And that goes to the image and the way he interacts. And then real people interacting through it makes it even more like a real person when it's not.
And it's not. And when you've got people that don't understand that XX does not equal XY.
That's right.
You are open to believe really anything at that point.
Yeah.
And the human nature, we are by design. God has designed us for certain things.
Yep.
To worship him, to have communion with one another,
right.
Fellowship, koinonia.
Right.
And when we don't get those things the way God's prescribed them for us, we're going to find it somewhere, some way.
Yeah.
Here comes technology to replace the human experience.
That's right. That's right. It's got to be real people. I mean, it's got to be, and it's not going to replace it. There's no soul. It's a soulless type thing, you know? But it's, again, we're going to see more and more of it. People are going to see it as more and more normal. And this, it's just more of a dead interaction. You know, it's human interaction. That's what life is. And then interaction with God. So I think we're going to see more and more of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said, there's part of the technology that's really cool, but it's how the Antichrist is going to use it that's not so
cool. That's true with everything, right?
Yes, it's true with everything.
I mean,
think
about it. The internet can be used in amazing ways.
God's given us all things to richly enjoy, then, you know.
Yeah, you can use it for good or evil. Yeah. It just depends on, and of course, the enemy's going to use it all for evil.
Yep. God doesn't make junk, but man junks up what God makes.
Yeah.
So
anyway. There you go.
All right, well, that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us make sense of the signs of the times, our weekly take on Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We're a weekly broadcast that we've tagged as podcast number 271, available through all of your popular podcast outlets. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we've got a couple of listener questions this week.
Yes, we do.
Our first one comes from Dale, who enjoys Signs of the Times in Knoxville. And the title of his question is The Lesson of the Fig Tree. He says Matthew 24, verses 32 through 34 is the lesson of the fig tree there. And he says, I heard a speaker, the name Jay McCarl, teaching on the entire book of Revelation, and I think maybe the title of his teaching was called Decoding the Future.
Right.
He cross-referenced these verses in Matthew, indicating that when Israel has been reestablished in their homeland of Israel, 1948, we can know that all these things, and then in parentheses he puts the rapture of the church, the tribulation, Christ's second coming, will begin during that following generation. He did not give a definitive time frame, but he did surmise that it could be 80 to 100 years after 1948. Do you agree with Mr. McCarl?
Yeah, let me just say, first of all, I haven't heard what Jay McCarl taught. I don't know who that is. I haven't heard it, so I can't emphatically say what he said or didn't say. But from what you've said, I will share some insight from here just on this passage. And I would say I think that he's definitely partly right, but I think there's more to the story. So I wouldn't say he's wrong. I would just add more to the story and maybe give some further insight in what the passage says. Let me read the passage. And first of all, for our listeners, God refers to the nation of Israel as a fig tree. It's one of the symbols that God uses for the nation of Israel. So you need to understand that to realize that when Jesus uses this symbol, he's talking about the nation of Israel. So it would be exactly right to make that application. But listen to what it says. Jesus said there, now learn this parable from the fig tree. Again, looking at the nation of Israel would be his point. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, okay, or we would say begins to bloom, begins to really blossom, begins to flourish, then you know that summer's near. So you also, when you see all these things, that's the things he's been talking about that would happen in the last days, know that it is near at the very doors. That is the return of the Lord. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, first of all, the fact that it says this generation has stumbled a lot of people because they say, well, wait a minute. The generation of the Lord in that day, it didn't happen. So the Lord was wrong. Well, Jesus is never wrong. So you have to relook at the verse. He wasn't saying the generation of that day. He's saying this generation that sees the fig tree
those things
bear
happening.
Leaves. Yes, that's the generation that you're going to see the return of the Lord. Now, where he comes from as far as 40 to 80 to 100. I think he used 80 to 100 here is what
80,
he said.
80 to 100.
Yeah, yeah. And again, really, I think...
We're thinking generationally. Didn't we always talk in the past 40 years a generation?
It is. Biblically, yeah, generally, yes. But okay. He probably went 80 because he mentioned in the second generation, which would be 80.
Okay.
Sometimes even as much as 100 is used as a generation in Scripture. So there is a variance there from 40 to 100. Probably mentioned 80 here, just so you know, Dale, because of the... Dub saying it was the second generation. But here's the bottom line. Notice it's not, it doesn't say that it'll be 40 to 100 years when Israel's back in the land. In other words, when the fig tree is replanted, it says it'll be 40 to 100 years when the fig tree bears leaves. Okay. When the fig tree begins to bloom, you might say. So where I do believe he's generally correct, I think there's a slight flaw to it, if that's really what he said, that I would add to give the fuller picture. And that is, we don't know in God's eyes when Israel bloomed. In other words, when they came back in the land in 48, I would not call that blooming. They were, it was just like they were struggling to survive.
It was a fulfillment of a prophecy, yes. But not the one that Jesus is talking about.
They were there. They were a nation. They were trying to survive and trying to become a people. They were struggling, if you will. I would not say that their fig tree had leaves at that point. I would say the fig tree was put in the ground, but the fig tree was new and probably leaveless, okay? So the question would be is, when after 1948 in God's viewpoint, did those leaves appear on the fig tree? When did the nation now say, okay, there's a healthy-looking fig tree. This thing has bloomed. I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, it has bloomed now. You can look at the nation of Israel. I would say this nation has bloomed. They are one of the top nations in the world militarily. They're one of the top nations in the world economically. They're one of the top nations in the world technologically. They invented the iPhone. People don't realize that. Many don't realize the iPhone came out of Israel. So many things. They've got more intellectuals than any other nation. Nobel Prize winners than any other nation in history, whatever. And they have bloomed even in export. They're one of the top exporters of fruit of the world, of flowers. Teeny tiny. So the bottom line is, not only have they bloomed, Dale, they are producing massive fruit, okay? Fig after fig after fig, right?
But when did God say that started?
Yes. When, in God's viewpoint, when did that take place? Now, if we knew exactly when those leaves appeared from God's viewpoint, we could say, all right, probably anywhere from 40 years to 100 now, we're going to be out of here. So I think the good news is this. So that would be the slight flaw I would find in this, and that would be the what I would add to it, although I'm not saying he's wrong. I would just add a fuller picture to it. But what I would say is this, is that I do believe now we are in that generation. When he said this generation that sees that, this, I believe, is definitely, with not just the evidence of what's happening with the fig tree of Israel, but the rest of the signs, Greg, this, I believe, is the generation of the return of the Lord. There's too much going on. And when you look at what's happening with AI, I don't see how it could go much longer without the Lord coming back, because, I mean, they're talking about making people in laboratories and then trying to put, you know, Elon Musk is now talking about, he says he has the ability, whether or not he does, he says he can download somebody's brain, all the information, mm-hmm. and transfer it to another brain.
Yeah.
Which means if they could create a brain in a lab or whatever this thing might be, it's kind of like a science fiction movie, they could download your thoughts. Yeah. It wouldn't be your soul.
Yeah.
But your thoughts into another body.
Yeah.
And there again, the technology, God can't let this go on forever.
No, but at the same time, Elon Musk has been promising full self-driving FSD level 5 capabilities for several, many years,
right.
5 to 10 years, and they still don't have it. As a matter of fact, they've been sued over their claims. So is it heading in that direction? Well, yeah, but it's not right where they make it sound like it is, especially when Elon Musk talks. He's a big thinker. He's a smart guy. He sees farther into the future, and I think he shares those thoughts more than they are realities. So, but not to say that we're not heading there. But if he can't make a car do full self-driving, I don't know how we can make a human. That's my point.
Yeah, and I don't know where they are in that whole schedule, Greg. That's a good point. But the thing is that if it's going to advance rapidly as they say it is, and we see how fast technology, then this could be a fairly rapidly evolving thing with AI. So the point is, either way, we're getting to the point to where we're in a realm now where we can really be a major abomination to God and God's creation in heaven, more so than man ever had the ability to do. And at some point, the Lord's got to step in and go, you know what? We're done.
Yeah.
And so I do believe we're in that generation, Dale. I think we're very close because of this passage and because of everything else happening in the world.
Well, I was going to say, in the everything else happening in the world, I think about just, you know, the impact of that movie, The Sound of Freedom, has had on people when it comes to human trafficking and what's being revealed about all of that.
Yeah.
And when you just think about all of the sin in the world and the sin against God and the rejection of God, the level of rejection and how that keeps ratcheting up.
Yeah.
To me, I'm more concerned about that than I am about the technology in terms of God's judgment on the whole thing.
The days of Noah.
The days of Noah.
God reached the point. He said, I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
He said, you know what?
And it feels like that, right?
It really does. I mean, and God is gracious. God has waited a long time. But I tell you, I just feel like we're right there. It can't be long. So I think it's right to be excited. I think we are. I do believe that we are in the generation. I believe it has begun that'll see the return of the Lord in light of that scripture. But I don't necessarily think it can be absolutely calculated from 1948 because they, I don't think, quite bloomed until sometime later.
Right, right. All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Michael, who enjoys Signs of the Times in Katy, Texas. His question is about the lamb at the wedding feast and the lamb opening the seals.
Yeah.
He says, I'm sure I just don't understand clearly or am missing something, and I'm hoping you can clear it up for me. I believe God's word is truth, and anything outside of that is false or misunderstood. With that said, I was under the impression that we would be celebrating with Christ, the lamb, the bridegroom, at the wedding feast of the lamb while the tribulation is being done on the earth for 7 years. Will the lamb be opening the seals during the feast, or is the opening of seals a different time from the feast?
You know, it's a great question. And Michael, just so you know, I've gotten this question twice in 1 week. This is the second
Interesting.
Time. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think I've ever gotten this question.
I don't ever remember. But I
mean, even in personal ministry, nobody's ever asked me this.
So is Jesus is he doing two things at the same time?
Well,
is what he's asking?
Well, yes. And first of all, we have to recognize the Lord can do multiple things. I mean, he's doing everything right now, holding the universe together, so that's not an issue. And when we get to heaven, we'll be able to do that as well. Let me give you a different picture of kind of how I kind of envision this. I don't know exactly how it's going to be, Michael, but yes, the answer is yes. We will be having the wedding supper of the Lamb, it would appear. And at the same time, it's not just the seals that'll be open. It'll be the trumpets. It'll be the bowls poured out. That'll all be during that 7-year feast. So we're going to be feasting while all this is happening. And I personally believe, Greg, because he's going to be doing all that and the big fanfare of the angels, we're going to be watching during the feast what's happening. Imagine it like a dinner theater. And I'm not trying to lessen the severity of this by using that analogy.
Or make it look like watching the judgments
like
happening is like we're enjoying
it.
No,
and I don't want to make clear on that. What I'm saying is when I'm going to give you the picture of like a dinner theater, what I'm trying to give you the picture of is make it more like almost an awards banquet with video. During that time, I believe that the Lord's going to be giving out awards. I think that we're going to be watching the trumpets. We'll be watching. There'll probably be some announcement. You know, the first trumpet now, we'll all kind of look up from our meal, the first trumpet, the second, and we'll be watching this happen while we're having. Now, the Bible didn't give all these details. I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
But I do believe the Bible indicates all this will be happening at the same time, which is really amazing that we're going to be there with the Lord as he carries out these things he's going to be doing on the earth. We're celebrating with him. For those of us, but you talk about being thankful at that moment you're saved and you knew the Lord. Think about sitting there at that dinner going, I am so glad I'm not down there with what's happening with this bowl being poured out or this trumpet being blasted or whatever. And again, remember the compassion of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, the love that he has, the love that we have. This is the very end of those that are shaking their fist at heaven. So don't picture it wrong. But I think we're going to be watching all this take place, Greg, during the wedding supper of the Lamb, and it's going to be an unbelievable, I just can't even imagine what this is going to be like.
Would you imagine, since you're kind of like picturing some things, and I am too, I kind of pictured the banquet in my mind when you were talking about that, like we're in the Space Needle, because the Space Needle's up high, and you can look out the Space Needle, but it's not like we're sitting in having a banquet looking out, but we can get up and look around and, oh, look out the window and go, oh, you know, look at that, a third of the earth is, you know, and this is kind of like this, you know. But
I think we'll see it all.
But we know that there's not only judgment that's going on, but there's also, in God's mercy, when you think about the angel circling the earth, when you think about the two witnesses, when you think about everything, even through the judgments, God's mercy, it's not just judgment, but it's an opportunity for those people one more time.
That's right.
you've got a chance to give your life to the Lord.
That's right.
Okay, so now let's go back to the wedding feast. I'm wondering, as you're talking about all this, and I'm with you in spirit, right? We're there.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, are we praying?
Yeah.
Are we, you know, it's like, it's kind of like, are we praying at the same time we're watching it?
Yeah.
Are we watching it and saying, oh Lord, you know, please, or like, please open your eyes, see, you know, I mean, you just got to, you know, you wonder, because the Lord's heart is that all men come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, even in the middle of the judgment.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting you said that, Greg, because I think it's the first seal that he opens and we all sit there at the table for in silence for 30 minutes.
Because we're blown away, no doubt.
I wonder, are we praying?
Oh.
Are we blown away? Is it a combo?
Yeah, yeah.
Are we just in awe?
All of the above?
But it says he's going to open at the very beginning of this whole thing, and there's 30 minutes of silence in heaven.
Amazing.
Now think about that. We're just kind of like sitting there, just like, wow.
Yeah.
When you say exciting, if you don't know God and understand the heart of God and where we're coming from, it sounds very cold, because how can you be excited about the judgment of God? It's not the excitement that God is judging. It's the excitement of watching God make everything right. And
yes.
You get to be a part of God making everything right. And as you said, Greg, God giving everyone on the earth that missed the rapture another chance to repent that they might come to heaven. And no doubt there's going to be, the prayers are coming up from earth to the Lord. Save me, Lord. Save my family. I mean, you know that's going to be happening. Will we be petitioning in heaven? Will that be a 30-minute? We'll be praying, Lord, my family's down there right now. You're getting ready to start this judgment. They're all down there right now, and I want to lift them all to you right now, God. Just that connection of being in heaven. You see them, Lord. You know how hard they've been. You know, and praying for our family. I don't know that's what it's going to be, but I mean, I get excited thinking about this whole event. This is going to be, it's so amazing. Who can imagine what we have to see and what's going to happen?
Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
I'm thankful for the question, because it gets you thinking about things. You're like, oh, this is so cool. What a great question. But to answer it, sum it up there, Michael, is, all this stuff is going to be going at the same time. The Lord can handle multiple things at once. We'll be able to, and yet we'll be celebrating. And I think it will even be somehow, my personal opinion, this is not the Bible, I believe it will be incorporated into our meal and celebration, because when he has those angels come forward and they each blow the trumpet, you're going to hear that trumpet. It's going to be a major event right there we're watching. Then you're going to see the seals broken first, then the trumpets, then the bowls poured out. I think we're going to be going, Lord, you're righteous. He even talks about in Revelation.
Right.
There's several times we say, God, you're righteous in all you're doing, and we're going to be praising him. The roar of heaven going, you did it. This is awesome. Yes. Whoa. And then more people coming up as they die for their faith. Then all of a sudden, I wonder if at the table, chairs, people just appearing. Like, amen, you made it. You're like, oh, that was awful, but I'm so glad to be here. It's like, we were praying for you, man. We were cheering for you. We knew when that third bowl was poured out, there'd be more coming up, and here you are, you know? Wow.
That reminds me, years ago, you used to describe yourself getting into heaven or describe someone, describe them that barely got in, you know, like you're on fire, like...
I came in smoking.
I'm
smacking my jacket. Yeah. God, it's good to see everybody. I'm just glad I got in.
Oh, man.
Well, Michael, praise the Lord.
Michael and Dale, thank you so much for your questions. If you've got a question like Michael and Dale, just hit us up at thewaymedia.net, click on Signs of the Times, and you'll see where you can send us your prophecy question. All right. Bad actors, bad intentions, bad outcomes, bad agendas, bad breath. It's pestilence,
Hollywood.
Plagues, disasters, and corruption.
Oh, Hollywood? I thought it was Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I misunderstood.
Yes,
bad
Hollywood.
Actors.
Well, you know,
bad intentions.
Well, what is it?
Corruption.
Is it the third week of a strike so the nation can realize we don't need Hollywood?
Yeah. 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 No kidding.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Fox News is reporting that Houston health officials are reporting a report for a report of a syphilis outbreak, 128% spike in cases among women.
Yeah.
Why, Pastor Mark, why?
Yeah, this is scary. It might just be because of greater sexual activity. It might be because, again, the Bible says in Matthew 24 that there's going to be more and more plagues in the last days. Houston health officials are warning the residents of a syphilis outbreak, responsible, as you said, Greg, for 128% increase among women. The Houston Health Department said it also led a nine-fold rise in congenital syphilis in Houston and Harris County. Statistics indicated that new infections rose by 57% in 2019. Again, from 1,845 to 2,905 in 2022. The congenital syphilis rose from 16 cases in 2016 to 151 in 2021. The department said Thursday that it would launch a rapid outreach response to address the issue. including increasing screening opportunities, targeting hotspots, and mobilizing community partners to curb new infections. So I think you've got probably a couple things, a more corrupt community and society, but you've also got, again, in the last days, there'll be plagues, more and more types of plagues and outbreaks. I think both of these probably come into play here. But again, that's a horrible situation. And again, here's the reminder. Look, if we are not involved in sinful sexual activity, we never have to worry about any of this stuff. The only person that ever has to worry about any kind of increase in sexually transmitted diseases are people that are living in sexual immorality. Because once you're married, if you go into that marriage with a disease, yep, you're going to have it and your wife will have it. And if you can get rid of it, great, you can get rid of it. If you can't, you can't. But you're not going to catch anything new. But if you're living out there in sin, I mean, the door's wide open to whatever. So again, I think it's just a reminder of God's word. Walk in holiness and purity, and you don't have to worry about this. But it's sad to see what's happening there for the people of Houston. And I think probably that would be across the board. I doubt it's just Houston. That's just where the statistics are coming out of.
Yeah. All right. Our next story comes from MSN.com. The title of the article says, Global Hunger Enters a Grim New Normal.
Yeah, this is interesting. Again, let me read this article and then we'll chat for a second here. While the fact that there wasn't a major increase in global hunger between 2021 and 2022 could be viewed as a positive sign, there are a lot more negative trends to be gleaned from the United Nations annual flagship report on global food security, which was released last week. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization estimated that between 691 million to 783 million people faced hunger last year. The mid-range of that calculation was about 735 million. It's 122 million more people are going hungry, is the bottom line, than in 2019. So although it held steady, it's still 122 million more than 2019. So they're seeing this upward trend in famine. Again, this goes right in line, Greg, with what it says in Matthew 24. In the last days, you will see famine increase, Jesus said. What's amazing to me is
it's a man-made famine.
I always pictured it being just the earth, right?
Exactly.
Which will be part of it, no doubt. But right now, you're right. It's man right now causing this stuff. They're trying to do away with beef and cattle and do away with all these kind of things. They're trying to close down farms, not just like in Denmark. We saw that in America. We've got, you know, our government saying that they shut farms down and they're wanting to shut down all this stuff that keeps people alive. And it's weird, Greg, because here's what's happening. They're worshiping the creator. I'm sorry. They're worshiping the creation rather than the creator. They're worshiping the earth and saying we need less people. We need to kind of shrink things down so the earth is healthier. No, God created the earth for people, and God loves people, not the earth.
Is this just a summation of what we learn from the Bible, or is this a specific verse? Because my brain is blanking here.
Okay.
And that is, man cannot govern himself.
Yeah, no, that's just more of a principle.
Okay, the principle.
The Bible that we take proves that man can't govern himself.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and man is proving right here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just corroborating what the Bible is telling us is that man can't govern himself apart from God. I mean, anyway.
Well, that's why the
it's
only
just
nations.
It's amazing to me.
Well, the only nations that are successful are nations that honor God. And even, I think.
To any stretch.
Right. And when you look, Greg, at all the different types of governments throughout history, I think that arguably America has the most successful God-inspired, but man-run government. By the way, the way that it runs right now, because it just works better than others. The others, communism and socialism, continually fail, and they end up being taken over by dictatorships and just kind of collapse. So this is kind of the best man can do. But even within this, we have so many flaws in the way we do our government. There are so many flaws.
Yeah.
That's why you see the people that want socialism and communism screaming, because they're like, we can do better. We can do it. Well, no, you really can't. If you look at world history, you can't. This is the best man can do. But it's not going to be perfect, though, until Jesus Christ comes back and runs the entire thing. That's when we're going to see the real fruit of what a government should be.
Well, the bottom line is that crisis breeds control.
Yeah,
and
it does.
And that's what the Antichrist wants is control, and he can't get control unless there's a crisis.
And as many politicians say, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yep.
That means let's get more control through the crisis.
Yes.
And Jesus is going to come back and be the only one that can run this thing correctly.
Or government. If you think the problems we created are bad, just wait until you see our solutions.
There you go. That's right. What is it? The worst thing you can ever hear was Ronald Reagan said, "Is I'm from the government. I'm
here to help."
Very it's like, true. Oh, no, now we're in big trouble,
we're
right?
Big trouble. All right. We're heading to the church. Specifically, we are heading to the United Church of Christ, which really they should remove the name Christ from their church name.
Yeah.
And they're urging, the UCC is urging churches to help
quote-unquote pregnant people get abortions.
You know, Greg, the Bible talks about in the last days, here's our approach from the signs of the times, there'll be a falling away. And you see these kind of things, it's shocking to see that those who would take the name of the Church of Christ and do these abominable things. United Church of Christ overwhelmingly passed a resolution calling on member congregations of the liberal mainline denomination to help pregnant people get abortions. Look, if you can't even decide who it is that gets pregnant, then you have no moral authority at all. It's like you said, if you don't know that men have the X and Y chromosome and the women have the X and X chromosome and there's no surgery or mental gymnastics that can change that, if you can't face reality there as a moral leader, you can't be a moral leader. So they're failing here on so many things even before you get going. But the whole pregnant people thing just shows a failure of their morals. At the 34th UCC General Synod earlier this month, delegates passed the measure denouncing the U.S. Supreme Court's June 2022 Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization decision and calling for the denomination to support abortion access by a vote of 611 in favor to 24 opposed and 13 abstaining. The UCC resolution claimed that a majority of Americans support legal abortion in most cases. Now, what an odd statement for the church to make. The majority of Americans, who cares what the majority of Americans vote if you're a church? You should say this, God says, or God's word says, it doesn't matter about the people. People are sinful. They are fallen. God says, not American support. That makes it very clearly a political organization. It says that the Americans support legal abortion in most cases and that the state abortion bans can threaten the lives of pregnant people. Only women can be pregnant. As well as deepen unequal access to comprehensive reproduction care for minority communities. Again, this is totally a political organization right here that made this decision. This has nothing to do with the Lord. The resolution also urges the United Church Board Ministerial Assistance to provide emergency grants to any UCC medical beneficiaries and other eligible applicants to cover out-of-pocket costs and travel costs incurred by accessing care not available in their home state. So, in other words, we'll give you emergency grants so you can travel to places where you can get an abortion if your state, wherever that church is, doesn't allow it. So what we're going to do is that we're going to do what we can to work around God and work around God's the government and everything and try to give you money to go and to kill your child. I mean, it's amazing how mankind, apart from God, can become so tainted and so twisted in their view that not only could they approve something so wicked as this, but in addition, call it a church of Christ. Shocking to me. But again, the Bible says in the last days, there'll be more of this.
Well, and that's where I think the beginnings of doubt and questioning. I mean, this is no different than the garden. You know, when they started to question, when the serpent questioned Eve and said, did he really say that?
That's right.
I mean, the modern church, in this case, the United Church of Christ, is basically saying that God for us, the Bible for us, is an accessory. It's an addendum. It's an add-on. But it's not an absolute.
Yeah.
God is absolute.
He is.
He's the absolute authority. He's the absolute epitome of love, of grace, of mercy, of all those things. And if we don't look to him as our sufficiency in Christ, then we are going to be looking at other things to be sufficient. And man, in the world's ways, is more than happy to tell the church, that God stuff is it's okay, but you know what? The truth is really right here. So as long as you do that but believe in this, you'll be okay.
Yeah, they obviously don't know the Bible or believe it.
I mean, no.
That's the bottom line. So it's sad, but again, we're going to see more of that, Greg, in the last days.
Yeah, more to come.
Yep.
But now it's time for some good news.
Yes.
All right, this is from ChristianHeadlines.com. Inmates at a maximum security prison gather to worship God together.
This is interesting. Christian ministry, God Behind Bars, recently shared a video showing inmates inside a maximum security prison worshiping and praising God. Some of you guys in the room, he says in this quote, this is one of the only moments that you have just have your time with the Lord. A speaker seen telling 150 inmates who gathered inside a prison chapel, the CBN News reports, it might always be chaos or noise, so I just want you to take a moment and allow you guys to spend some time with Jesus, to reflect and to begin to think of things that you're grateful for. God Behind Bars says that the song Gratitude by Brandon Lake was then played where they worshiped. And earlier in June, the ministry reported that 130 prisoners were baptized at a federal prison, including 90 women. And I quote, "It was such a holy moment. God is changing the lives of these women. Addictions are breaking. Forgiveness is reigning. And Jesus is winning." I love that. That's a great, great statement.
Yes.
God Behind Bars has also released the Pendo app, a faith-based app that gives inmates access to worship music and sermons on the approved tablet. And I quote, "We've created satellite campuses in prisons and our whole mission to be introduced, introduce inmates to Jesus." Isaac Holt, Director of Innovation for God Behind Bars, told CBN News. So if you have family, first of all, this is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
What a great ministry. And if you have family, you're listening to this, you've got family that's in prison right now, let them know about this app. Let them know what's going on with this particular ministry, the Pendo app. It's called Pendo app. And again, for God Behind Bars, a great ministry. And so send them to it. But what a great thing you see, God reaching. You know, we talk about how God's going to reach those, Greg, during Revelation. Because they're getting, listen, in prison, that you've got somebody's attention. Some people are so hard, they'll never listen. But some people, this is what gets their attention. So God uses prison to open up eyes. And in this case, he did that through this ministry. And it's just tremendous to watch God work and to see him working again in the prison system. It's fantastic.
Great news indeed.
It is. And, you know, he brings up here in this whole thing, talking about the satellite they have, their internet system or whatever. And again, we talked about how satellite can be used for good and be used for bad. This is one of the ways that the internet is definitely used for good.
Yeah.
And this AI technology and all. And so, again, while we need to be very cautious with AI technology, we also have to recognize that this kind of technology can work in a wonderful way. And so be praying that God would use this technology in a great way, and be praying for these ministries that are using it in a great way. I watch what's happening with this whole AI stuff and what's taking place. That's another reason, Greg, I think we're toward the very end, because Satan's trying to basically become God to know everything about everyone's life and what they're doing. And that's what AI does. You know, the more and more AI gets, applied to our lives, the more invasive it is. You're being watched on your computer, being watched on your phone. You're even being watched in your cars now. The self-driving cars, they have facial recognition, is my understanding. They've got all kinds of things that people may not even know about, that they're watching you in the midst of that. And again, I think it's all going to come into play in the last days with what's happening. But, I want to, again, as I see what's happening here in this prison, I want to just take a moment again to talk to our listeners about, where are you? We can talk about AI technology and talking to computers and asking the questions about Bible, whatever, or Jesus, but you can talk directly to God right now. You can talk to God. You don't need AI technology. All you need is, hey, I'm ready, and I want to talk to the Lord. And so it's time. And if God is moving in your heart, you know, you're listening to the show today, and you're just, maybe you heard us for the first time. Maybe you've listened for a while. You've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, and God is opening your eyes. Hey, what these guys are talking about, this prophecy stuff, it's really coming to pass. We're seeing it take place. The Bible tells us all of it. It proves that it's true. God is showing you that. And God is opening your eyes right now so that you can be saved. And this could be a holy moment for you. You're talking about the holy moment here they're having, and they're in that prison. This right now might be your holy moment. If God is opening up your eyes right now to see that the Word of God is true, that Jesus really did die on the cross for you, not just the sins of the world, but for you and for your sin, all you have to do is this. Lord, I'm a sinner. Just tell him. Confess it. I am guilty before the throne of heaven. I am a sinner. I believe you died for me on the cross. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean of my sins. I want to be a part of your kingdom. And here's the good news. We talked about the wedding supper of the Lamb. If you pray that prayer right now, you'll not only be saved eternally and all your sins gone. That's the best news, no matter what happens, okay? But you will be taken in the rapture of the church. You will be in one of those seats during that festival where we celebrate, watching all this taking place. You're going to be the one sitting there saying, I'm so thankful I made that decision before God started judging everything. And you're going to be there with us rejoicing. We want you there. Don't wait until God forces you in the kingdom or you miss it completely by hardening your heart. If your heart is soft right now, soften your heart. Respond to that. Cry out to the Lord, receive Jesus as Lord. And if you do that, just pray in your heart and turn from your sin, repent of your sin, make it real in your heart, not from your lips, but from your heart. And if you do that, you'll be born again. You have your place in heaven. Let us know. We want to help you get started in your walk with Jesus Christ. Call us here at the church. Again, that's 865-609-1385. 865-609-1385. call and we will be here. We'll have somebody to talk to you. We'll get you some materials to get you started in your walk with God. We want to help you get going. We want to celebrate with you. And again, I just had in my heart to extend that invitation a little bit longer as we finish today's show. And I know that was of the Lord. So I believe somebody right now is being moved by the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Respond to it. Respond.
We can only pray that that's the case.
Amen.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much. And folks, thanks for listening. Hey, don't forget, if you've got an Apple TV box or you got a Roku TV box, then guess what? You've got another way to get the Way Media. Just download the Way Media app on any of those TV devices. If you think that we look bad on a small screen, just wait until you put us up on the big screen. Anyway, have a great weekend, everyone. We'll be back here next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times.